Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoy this message by Kathy Teal. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
We all love a good story. Our lives are filled with them. Stories we live, stories we hear, and stories we witness. Stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end. They have a theme which represents the tension between doing what is good and succumbing to what is not good. There is an old story about that tension. One evening, a wise person told their grandchild about a battle that goes on. The battle is between two wolves inside us all. One wolf is anger, envy, jealousy, doubt, regret, guilt. The other wolf is joy, peace, love, kindness, compassion, forgiveness. The grandchild thought about it for a moment and then asked, "Which wolf wins the battle?" The wise grandparent answered, "The one that you feed." Our scripture today is part of one of the greatest stories ever told. There is no big fight scene, no chariot race, no lions. To some, this story, though great, can be a little boring at times. But we keep telling it because it is a story about someone trying to live a good life, doing their best to feed the wolf of compassion and not the wolf of regret. And so we can identify with this story. We can even find ourselves in it. It's about Peter and his eyes. Eyes that were open to God as he knew generosity. Eyes that were closed to God when he focused on regret. Eyes that then reflected a contrite heart as he knew guilt. And eyes that recovered to shine with the love of Christ and the excellent, awesome feeling of having been given a second chance. Eyes of an ordinary person living their own story. Many of our own stories begin with, "I was on my way to the grocery store," or "I was starting to think about maybe cleaning the kitchen," or "I had just picked up the phone to call," and that is when something happens. Whether it's awesome or awful, it is life. Part of our story. It's what happened to Peter and John and the man who was lame. They were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they passed by someone who has been sitting there for his entire life. This man calls to them, "Look at me. Help me." Jesus' disciples hear his call, and they stop, and they listen, and they look at the man, and then they say, "We don't have any gold or silver to give you." You and I know that feeling of disappointment when we hear the words, "I cannot help you because I do not have what you are asking for." But then the disciples offer more. "We do not have any gold or silver to give you, but here is what we do have." And then they turn the tables. They engage the man. They say, "Look at us. Look toward permanent, thorough, spiritual healing through Jesus Christ. Everyone needs healing from something, and we each have our own work to do toward that goal of fullness of life. Though there are things we know we will never be able to do, I would love to be able to fly. With the help of God, with the understanding of what it is to be human, we can accept this and embrace a relationship with God which will heal what can be healed beyond our wildest dreams. Healing is real. It is possible for all of us. For we are beloved children of God, and God loves us each unconditionally. In our best moments, God loves us. The times of which we are most proud, the time we said exactly the right thing and made someone's day brighter, the time we cooked the meal to perfection and everyone enjoyed a gourmet feast, the time we went out of our way to help someone in need. God loves us when we shine. God loves us when we fail, when we do the wrong thing and cause an awkward situation, when we speak from a place of anger instead of from a place of love. This is who we are, individuals with varied life experiences. We are people who shine, and we are people who fail. And it's often hard to reconcile ourselves with the times we fall short of what we know we can be. Times we pay more attention to the wolf of jealousy. Times we let our eyes show the violence we learn from the world. And yet we learn and grow from each and all of our experiences. We learn and grow when we reflect on our behavior, when we wonder how to reconcile with someone we hurt, when we learn how to admit that we are hurt. It's hard work, and it's good work. It is by doing this work that we come to a deeper level of understanding of our true selves. And as we know ourselves better, we come to a deeper understanding of God. Peter was one of the first disciples Jesus called. Perhaps it was a sunny day when Peter looked up, saw Jesus, heard the call, and agreed to a whole new life. Jesus saw a true human being, one who was ready to learn, one who was committed to help, one who was eager to know more about God, one who had struggles. Peter was there throughout Jesus' ministry, learning from him, developing and strengthening his relationship with God and those around him, ministering to the sick, those in prison, and those who were suffering. Peter sat at the table during that Last Supper, knowing he would betray Jesus, but not believing it. Not believing that he would treat a beloved friend and teacher with less than the truth. And then he does. Three times, Peter says, "I don't know him." Three times. Not just once, and not even in a passive way. Who? I don't know. No. Peter's words are sure. There is no doubt. He says, "I don't know him." We can only imagine, and we can, how rotten he felt when he realized what he had done. He denied a relationship with the person who had called him to a ministry of loving the people of God. "No," he said, "I don't know about loving the people of God. No, I don't know him." We next see Peter 3 days later, running to the tomb to see for himself that Jesus had risen. I wonder how Peter spent those days between his betrayal and his sprint to the tomb. Surely he was bereft, grief-stricken, sad, feeling guilty for not being able to support his friend when he most needed it. And yet Peter does not set up camp in the past. He does not feed that wolf of remorse. He moves on. He is able to take the resurrection to heart, and he leaves that temporary place of regret to accept the new life offered to him. He embraces God's eternal love for him. The story of Peter is the ultimate example of redemption. Peter's denial of Jesus does not prevent him from continuing on and honoring the life that Jesus breathed into him. By calling and throughout his ministry with Jesus, the light of the flame of love was ignited within Peter. Peter's actions, words, and thoughts fanned that spark into the fire we see here today, in the form of the healing of the man who had been unable to walk. We see Peter come full circle as he states directly, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the cornerstone of life. I know him." In his growth, Peter has learned to take responsibility for the truth. He may have wallowed for a while in the place of despair for his actions, but he did not choose to live in that space. His story shows us that healing is possible. Whatever Peter's experience was between the night he denied knowing Jesus and that morning after spending the night in jail, Peter is now able to say, "I know Jesus," and his actions say it as well. This radical turnaround didn't happen overnight, but because it did happen, and because it happened to one of the most well-known disciples, it gives us hope for a fruitful future after we have made a colossal error in judgment. We can give ourselves some leeway when we wish our own recovery wouldn't take so long. We can offer grace to those around us who aren't changing their habits quite as quickly as we wish they would. We can offer understanding to a world which does not always offer love. By the awesome and marvelous example of Peter's life, when we shine the light of God in our lives, then the world is changed. Peter's life is not a response to what he himself has done. It is a response to what God has done in Peter. Peter lives not as a response to what someone else is doing, but in response to what God continues to do in Peter. Peter does not dwell in the mistakes he himself has made, but rather he lives in response to the forgiveness he always receives in God. Peter and John were arrested because they preached the resurrection of Jesus, because they offered new life. They were arrested because they healed a man, changing his life for the better. They were put in jail, and the next morning they stood confidently and said to the authorities, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the cornerstone of life." By this public proclamation, they risked their own lives to speak the truth. May we be as confident of truth when we get out of the prison of whatever confines us. Concrete walls or less visible barriers of guilt, fear, remorse. Whenever we are released, or whenever we release ourselves, we will be able to stand up and say, "By the love of God, I am healed. Feed the wolf that is love, and this will happen." Because God heals, regardless of who we are, regardless of what we have done or left undone. Look through Peter's eyes. Look into Peter's eyes. Know Christ within. Feel the gaze of God in your heart, the power of love and presence. Let the times that seem to be interruptions be as important as you thought your original plans were. Open your heart to God. God does work through you, regardless of your past, regardless of how the world views you. God loves you. Let God's love be the redemptive power and healing within you, so that your life is a response to what God is doing in you. Recognize and realize that you are the light of love for yourself and for the world. This is the greatest story of all. Embrace it as your own. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.